Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
This is a very sad chapter, but it's such a good lesson. If you had to summarize like the lesson of the chapter, it's that sometimes people think like some of the younger or newer is better, and really the whole kingdom fell apart because somebody followed the advice of some young whippersnapper who said, "Oh, I think my, you know, let's." They ignored the advice of the good advice of the older advisors, because the newer advisors were younger and in life people sometimes do those kinds of things. Like something will sound appealing to them, and the older and wiser people will tell them something, and they'll hear from their friends something different, and they'll ignore what should have been good advice. Most people that make big mistakes, so there was someone there who warned them, and they just chose to ignore the advice. So really, that's what happened here. Now, you could argue that this was Hashem's will. Hashem wanted, told Shlomo HaMelech that he would be punished and the kingdom would be taken away. So it was like preordained that this would happen. But at the end of the day, it was Rechavam, his son, who blew it. So that's what we're going to learn about. But it's a famous chapter in terms of just, like, you read it and you almost laugh and you, like, you see this coming. You know, why doesn't he... You know, these were the advisors of King Solomon, you know, his father's advisors, and they're advising him what to do, and it makes so much sense. And then what does he do? He listens to his friends, you know, he decides to be macho and go out, and we'll take a look at it. So it's just an interesting chapter here, chapter 12.
May I ask, the names are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a meaning here in those names being similar?
That's interesting. I didn't even think about that. I'll have to look into that. It is. They both have the Am in their names, like that they were meant to be leaders, maybe, or something like that. That's interesting, though.
Yeravam would mean to increase the
or to fight with the people. Meriva would mean to increase or to fight, right? And Rechavam would be to widen or to... They both were groomed for leadership. In the ideal world, we could have... You know, it's interesting. Like in America, they often sense this. Like if the politicians, they both have... Each side has a point. You know, if they would work together, then you'd have the ideal world where both sides would work together for everybody's benefit. But if you follow, you know, only one side in the politics, in other words, in America, they've always seemed to want to have a two-party system where there's a balance. Because extremists tend, usually the extreme solution isn't always the best. They feel like when people work together and they balance different views, and so that's the, that's what would work. So in our ideal world, if we could have had the leadership from David and the leadership from Yosef, that's it. Mashiach would be here. Then we'd have it all. But that didn't happen. Too many times Yosef and Yehuda couldn't get along together, and we had division in the Jewish people. But we would do really well if we had both kinds of leadership. We had both people on the same team. And if Yeravam and Rechavam had been together, that would have been great. And do you know why that didn't happen? Very fascinating. It's not a... originally, they would have worked together. There would have been two, the king of the northern kingdom and the king of the southern kingdom, and they would have gotten along well. There was one problem, and that was when, during the holidays, there was only one chair in the temple. You weren't supposed to sit down in the temple. It wasn't respectful in front of the Aaron. The only one who was allowed to sit was the king. And there was only one chair for the king from the house of David. And Rechavam said, you know what? If I'm going to be standing and he's going to be sitting, people will say he's a better king. He's greater than me. Because of that, he decided, you know what, I can't have people daven at the temple. I got to make my own. So that was the whole, that was the beginning of the whole thing, was he was afraid that he wouldn't get as much honor as the other king. The other king would be seated on his throne when the people came up for the holiday, you know, like kind of like in the synagogue, like, you know, the rabbi will be up there in his seat, and I'll be with everybody else, and they'll say, I must not be the real rabbi if the other rabbi's up there and I'm not. So Chazal say that was when Yeravam, who was a very religious person, Yeravam was critical of Shlomo HaMelech, because if you remember that there was a big open territory where people would come up on the holidays, like a big open place where they'd set up their tents, and Shlomo HaMelech had so many wives that he needed to use the space to build palaces for some of his foreign wives. And Shlomo HaMelech had good reasons for wanting to do this in order to make treaties with these countries and influence them. And he felt this was important to his mission to increase these the teaching to the foreign nations. But Yeravam came to him and said that what he did was wrong. And it's because he felt it's so important that people come up and be inspired and come to the Beit HaMikdash. And how could you, Shlomo, take away this open space that your father created for those that came up? And so Hashem said, Yeravam, you're such a great person. You're worried about my Beit HaMikdash. You want people to come up. I'm going to make you king. And we're going to see the first thing he does when he becomes king is he stops people from coming to the Beit HaMikdash. And he says, you know, if they're going to go up there, they're going to think the other king's bigger than me. He gets to sit. I don't get to sit. And therefore, which is also just such a human lesson, like, you know, how somebody is worried about their honor. You know, their honor really bothers them, and so, but we'll get to all that, and let's take a look. Chapter 12. So, as we noticed, like, Shlomo HaMelech, like, kind of disappeared. Like, it's just so interesting, like, he just disappeared off the scene. We mentioned that in his old age, things weren't as good as when they were younger. We also mentioned that he died all of a sudden. Perhaps if he had more time, he could have fixed some of the problems. There are people that really have very good plans to fix certain things, and they just don't get around to it, or nobody really knows how long they have. And so Shlomo HaMelech passed away relatively young. Had he lived a little longer, perhaps he could have finished the jobs that he was planning to do, but none of us know how much time we have. Vayelech Rechavim Shechem. So Rechavim, his son, who's about 40 years old, goes to Shechem. Now, why is he going in Shechem? The capital city is Yerushalayim. To start with, there's something wrong here. And the first verse says, why did he go to Shechem? Ki Shechem bo kol Yisrael laham lechoso. Because the people said that they would go to Shechem to anoint him as king. So why would they go to Shechem? So it could be that Yerushalayim was the territory of Yehuda. There's always been this tension between the rest of the tribes and Yehuda. If you remember, when David HaMelech had to run away from the city and he was brought back, some of the tribes were critical that he wasn't brought back by everyone, he was brought back by the elders of Yehuda. People were always afraid that the king is focused on his tribe to the exclusion of others. Is he the king of the whole Jewish people or just the king of Yehuda? Yehuda was so different that there always was this tension. We even found, like earlier, when we were one people, it mentioned the soldiers of Yehuda separate from the other soldiers. They were always just, like, different. There just was, like, the Yehuda people were just supercharged. They were just, like, a different kind of tribe. They were it was just different. And so there was always this tension whether the other tribes were loyal to Yehuda, felt connected to Yehuda in the same way. So if you remember, when David HaMelech was king, at first Yehuda split off, and the rest of the tribes kept the son of King Shaul as king. And Yehuda split off and said, no, we're taking David as king. So there's this independent go-it-alone gene that we have amongst our people. And we always have, like, a different, you know, there's always going to be people that want to do it their way. Today, it's actually pretty popular, like, they call it the shtibulization, where everybody, if you want to do it your way, so go do it your way, you know, like we allow, and there's a certain beauty to that we allow a multitude of opinions. If we only get along and we have our opinions in the same structure, but there's no question that within Judaism we allow different ideas, we allow, you know, we have different tribes, we're not all the same tribe, we come from different, and there was the idea that people are unique and that they are entitled to think of things a little differently and express their uniqueness. Is a Jewish concept, but the challenge is having people being unique and working together That's the challenge, you know, how to get everybody together. So they wanted to go to Shechem because they wanted the new king not just to be king of Yehuda, but they wanted him to come to their territory. Shechem was the capital, so to speak, of Yosef's territory. That was where Yosef HaTzadik was buried. And Yosef was the main tribe next to Yehuda, pretty much. He was the most numerous. The descendants of Yosef were Ephraim and Manasseh, and they were a very numerous tribe. So they said, why don't you come to Shechem? Now, in the beginning, they didn't threaten to not make him king. They just said, you come to our place, and we'll do it there. Now, it could be he should have known already that's trouble. Like, if he had done it in Yerushalayim, nobody would mess with him, because that then his people of his own country, you know, his own tribe would have protected him. But they said, come to us on our turf, and we'll anoint you there. We'll have a party there. We'll celebrate. We'll declare you king. Verse 2. Vahi kishmoya, Yeravim ben Nevat. When Yeravim ben Nevat heard that Shlomo Melech had died, and he heard they were anointing a new king, for who Oden of Mitzrayim? He was still a runaway. He was still off in Egypt. What was he doing there? Asher Baruch Mifnei Shlomo. He had run away from Shlomo, the Yeshiv Yeravim Mitzrayim. And he had settled down there. He thought he'd have to stay there long term. He really didn't have plans to come back and agitate and make war. Verse 3. Vayishachu, but they sent to him. The people, there were people in the Jewish people who said, you know what, we got to negotiate with this. We want to control our leader. It's so interesting also, like some people, they feel this need. There's a controlling need. They want to be the power grab. We want to talk to we need someone who can negotiate with our new king. So Yeravim came. The Kol Kahal Yisrael, and the whole Jewish people, Yedabu El Rechavim Leimor. And they sent a message to Rechavim the following. Verse 4. Avika Hiksho Esuleinu. Your father, he had high taxes. He gave us a big burden. Ba'ato, and now that you're king, Hakil Me'avodos Avika. You know what? We want lower taxes. Sound familiar? Isn't it interesting? You know, they lower the budget. We want lower taxes. Your father, he made it hard. What's very interesting is we don't find when Shlomo Melech was alive, they complained. Some people say that they felt that Shlomo needed to have, Shlomo had an unusual table, if you remember. He fed thousands. And he was like a teacher that taught masses of people. And so all the nations would come, and his court was like a world-class court. And that was his personality, and they were fine with that. But they felt that his son wouldn't need that much, because the son was not the father. He was not somebody who all the nations came to offer tribute and bring them their gold. He was not that kind of personality. So they said, your father, he needed a lot of tax money. And he made things very heavy. Ato hakem avodas avicha, we want you to lessen the taxes, Akasha. And you know what? If you lower the taxes, we will serve you. We will be your servants. We're happy to follow you. We just need you to lessen the burden. Sounds very reasonable, sort of. Now, he took this as a little bit of an insult. I mean, you know, his father just passed away, and instead of saying that the Jewish people in our whole history never had it so good. You know, it said that silver wasn't even worth it, wasn't even a valuable commodity. It was like stones, you know, and everybody was wealthy, and everybody was doing well, and what do? We complain. We say, it's so interesting, like, sometimes, you know, when you're on these committees, and you get a complaint, you never take it, it's not that you shouldn't fix complaints, and you shouldn't listen, but if you take them too seriously, then you could get your feelings hurt, you know, like, oh, they're really not happy, they didn't like what happened. It's human nature to complain, right? In Adam Arishan, it says that he went searching for a mate, that he was so desperate, he went to the animal king, didn't find one. Hashem gave him the perfect wife who was created perfectly for him, and the first thing he does is he complains. You know, when Hashem says, you ate from the tree, he says, oh, the woman that you, you know, it's human nature to complain or to grumble or to say something. So, it could be that Rechavim was just offended. You know, here's Shlomo HaMelech, the king that built the Beit HaMikdash, and he made us a superpower, and he made us world famous, and he made the country rich. And what do the people do? They said, your father, you know, they don't even say Shlomo, you know, your beloved father. They say, oh, the taxes were too high. We want him lower. So it could be, it's a little bit hard to understand why Rechavim isn't more So it could be the way the people complained wasn't good. Now, we have this lesson from Moshe Rabbeinu that when the people complained to him about lack of water, that's when he hit the rock. So some people said that he went off, he got angry for the first time or one of the few times because of the way they complained. But he called them rebellious ones, right? Remember, he hit the rock twice, right? So sometimes people complain, and the complaint itself is reasonable. But the way they complain is not reasonable. In other words, because either the way they talk or how they say it. And because of that, we don't address the complaint. And so it's a shame, because since we're upset the way they're complaining or how they're not grateful, we ignore the fact that there is something that needs to be resolved. And that's really what happens here. They complain about his father, and it could be he's just upset. You're complaining against Shlomo HaMelech. He was the greatest king we ever had. He made us wealthy. He made us his superpower. He brought the Shekhinah down. He was a perfect judge. He dedicated his whole life to you. He just passed away young, and I'm about to start the kingdom, and I need your help. And what do you say? Your father was too hard. We need you to lower the taxes. He could be he was upset about that. But on the other hand, you have to be able to not take it personally, because that's the nature of people to complain. And you have to see if there's any substance to the complaint. And even if there is no substance to the complaint, you have to be pragmatic. If you're going to ignore the person, they'll get insulted, things will get worse. It could be you have to be political. And we're going to see over here. Let's see what happens. Verse 5. Now, he does something that probably he knew from his father. And so it's always good advice never to act quickly. And he says, you know what, I got to think about it. V'yomar, verse 5, Arlechem luchu ad shloshi yom. Give me 3 days. V'shuvo elah v'yocham. And the people went back. Now, some people say that he made a mistake for getting back so long. You know, it could be that he should have answered it right away. If he had answered it right away and said, you know, my father was so good to you, now you're complaining, then it would have been okay. But because he didn't answer them right away, time went by. It's funny because this chapter is a tragedy. It ended up in the breakup of the Jewish people, so everybody likes to nitpick and figure out where he went wrong. So some people say he shouldn't have given them 3 days. Other people say that's great advice. Never answer something immediately. Take your time. Okay, let's see. Verse 5. So you know what? He needed advice, so he went to the advisors of his father. And these people advised David Shlomo HaMelech when he was alive. Now, Shlomo HaMelech was brilliant, so you can assume that his advisors were also equally capable. And he said to them, Lamor, Eich atem noatim lahoshev es ha'am hazeh davar. So he said, what do you think I should tell the people? What should I say? Verse 7, V'davar elav Lamor. And they said to him the following. And this is brilliant advice. And usually, if somebody ignored advice, why would we have to record advice that wasn't taken? The answer is because it was good advice. It's always good advice. And the good advice is that sometimes if you talk soft and you accept the complaint, in the end, things will work out better. Sort of. So let's see. Atam Hayom, he said, Im Hayom Tiyah Eved La'amazah. So give in today. If today you will be a servant to the people, even though your job is to be king, but if you, today you will humble yourself and you will do what they want, and you'll speak to them nicely, guess what? Then they'll be your servants. And then when you need to be tough, they'll listen to you. But today they're upset. You have to speak to them nicely. Speak to them nicely. And even though you're a king and you want to show that you're powerful and that you have the authority, but now's not the time for that. Now you give in, and then there'll be other times they'll trust you, they'll have faith in you, they'll serve you all the days. That was the advice that he gave them. So, verse 8. So let's see if he took, sounds like good advice, doesn't it? Verse 8. Sometimes when you don't like the advice you get, what you do is you try to get more advice so you can get the advice that you want to hear. That's never good. When a person looks for someone who will tell him the way he wants to hear it, right? So that's the person wants a yes person. So it's interesting. At that moment, when he decided he didn't want to follow the advice, that was where he ran into trouble. So he rejected that. It's hard to want to give in. A person naturally wants to be tough. Nobody wants to give in. The people insulted his father, but he rejected the advice of the elders, the Vayotz of the Yaladim. So he went to his young, new advisors. He went to his youthful advisors, right? Younger is better. Asher Gadlu Ito. And these, they had grown up with him. Asher Omdim Lefanav, and they stood in front of him. It's interesting why it mentions that they grew up with him. Maybe they were trying to tell him what he wanted to hear. It could be he was more comfortable with them because they were more his age. Sometimes people, I don't want to listen to old-fashioned advice. Old people, they all speak the same. I need to hear somebody young who thinks like I do. Verse 9. What do you advise? What should I say? These people said to me, you must remove the burden that your father gave to us. Yud. And these young people that had grown up with him, and they said the following. This is what you should say to the people. You should tell them they're complaining about your father. They're saying your father had it too hard. And now they want it easier. You've got to be tough with them. If you give in a little bit, they'll take advantage. They always tell like teachers, you know, at the beginning of the year they got to be tough, and then they'll listen to you, right? You got to go in very tough. This is how you should speak to them. Ketani ava mimase avi. You should tell them you're even greater than your father. My finger is thicker than my father's loins. You think that now that I'm here, you could boss me around, that I'm not as great as my father? I'm even greater than my father. So it's so funny, you know, he was bothered by his father's honor, and because he gets angry, he ends up insulting his own father. You know, that's just the irony of it. 11. My father made you pay a lot of taxes. Guess what? I'm raising the taxes. I'm going to make it even worse. My father, he used to whip you with a very, very, very easy burden. I'm going to hit you with scorpions. I'm going to be much tougher. You tell him. You go and give it to him. Don't let him push you around. So that's what the young people advised him. They said, you got to show these people. You got to go with force. I wonder, a lot of these Arab rulers are doing that, you know. They go out with force, and then they get twice as many people the next day to go out and complain, you know, like the... It's, you know, that's been the challenge, you know, in the Arab world right now. There are all these uprisings. And so the old way was, if you're tough with the people, so then you'll put down the uprising. But what happens today, or what's been happening, is that infuriates the people. Because they feel like they don't, if you're, that it's, that in modern times, it's not right for a king to treat nonviolent protesters in this way. And so what happens, because they're able to reach other people through the computer, they get people that were not involved to protest the next day. And so what's happened in all these countries, for years and years and years, the kings would just put down these protests very violently whenever they came, and that was the end of it. But now it's not working. And so it's just interesting, like, sometimes it does work to come and answer very strong and push away dissent. And then other times, you have to give in to the people and give them what they want, and then they won't rebel. And so a good leader has to know when one's response is appropriate and when one is not. What he should have discerned was that sometimes young people, they're anxious like to go to war, or they're anxious to go to fight, or they have a certain youthful... So youth has a good point. In other words, maybe old people, they take them a little longer to move around or to make decisions. And young people, they jump up, they're ready to go. But on the other hand, young people sometimes go too quickly. They're ready to jump into something, and it could be a big mistake. And so over here, where he took the advice, he heard the elders, they advised him to do something, and he didn't want to follow that advice. And so he went right away till he found the young people, and they said, oh, you know what? You got to be tough with them. You got to show them who's boss. So unfortunately, he listened to them. The Gemara says an interesting thing. It says that if an older person tells you to take down, and a younger person tells you to build, and so usually you say building or creating is greater than destroying. It says listen to the old person, because If you have good advice, sometimes you have to destroy in order to build. Whereas if you build and it's not right, it'll be worse. And they quote this pasuk in Tanakh. In other words, here, the young people were saying, oh, you know, now's the time to build, to increase. You're becoming the new king, so raise the taxes, show them who's boss. And the older people were saying, give up power, give up authority. But had he listened to the older people to give up a little bit at the beginning, once the people were his, they would have done whatever he wanted. But instead, he listened to the younger people, and he lost everything. And he never got over it, we're going to see. And the Jewish people never got over it. It's just such an interesting... I think like everybody should learn this chapter. It's just such, you know, the human nature of it, and the back and forth. Verse 12, Yavu Yeravim Kolam El Rechavim B'yom HaShlishi. So Yeravim, the people, came to Rechavim on the third day, Kashid Yibramah, like the king said, Lamor. They said, Shuvah Elai, the king had said, come back on the third day. Verse 13, V'yan HaMelech Am Kasha. And the king... Now, you may notice it goes back and forth between the king and Rechavim. It says the king answered. He made it official government policy. He answered as the king, Kasha, hard. V'yazov es atzes zekanim. He ignored the advice of the elders that said he should speak nicely to them, Asher Yoatsu. Verse 14, V'daber lehem ka'atzes yiladim. And he spoke to them like the advice of the young whippersnappers, Lamor. V'hiksid es ucham. He said, my father, he did give you a heavy burden, but you know what? So it's funny. He could have challenged them and said, you know, it wasn't so bad in my father's time. Everybody did real well. But instead, he said, you know, you're right. My father was tough. I'm going to be even tougher. And they didn't like that message. I'm going to give you a bigger burden. Imagine a politician said, I'm going to raise all your taxes, and who's going to vote for it, right? My father afflicted you with smog, I'm going to hit you with scorpions. There, some people respect power, but his mistake was that the people didn't yet accept him as a king. The king didn't listen to the people. A king has to listen to his subjects. Now, it was strange. Shlomo Melech was a wise king, and he probably trained his kids. And Rechavim was picked because he was suited or expected to be suited to be king. So it's strange that, you know, we could see that this was not good advice. Why couldn't he see? So Ki Haisasibem Im Hashem. This was really Hashem caused him not to see. Like, you know, you see the people getting angry, like, you take a poll, find out if they like your new message, and if they don't like it, change your message, right? But he somehow didn't catch it. He didn't see that the people weren't happy. Now, why did Hashem do this? Laman hakim es dvor asher diber Hashem b'yad Achiyah Shiloni. In order that the prophecy that he had told Achiyah Shiloni to Yerovim ben Nevat would come true. 16. B'yar kol Yisrael ki lo shama ha-melech aleihem. And the people, they heard, it wasn't what he did, it was what he said. They heard that the king was not listening to them. All he had to do was listen to him. You know, all he had to do was, I hear your points, you know, it isn't easy to pay all the taxes. And then who was good? Bill Clinton was like that. He said, what did he say? I feel your pain, right? And it worked. He didn't necessarily solve it, but he said, he talked and people felt that he was empathetic, right? You know, but it worked. A leader, people have to feel that their leader understands them. But they saw, the king wasn't listening. You don't listen to us? Forget it. So the people returned to the king saying, "My lanu chelik b'David. What do we need you for?" Now, they've not only rejected him, so he said, well, it wasn't just a rejection of Rechavim. Rechavim was the king from the house of David. He was the question was to continue the dynasty. So they said, we don't need this. We don't need... Not only did they reject Rechavim, and they rejected Shlomo, now they're going back and they're rejecting David. V'lonachal ben Yishai. We don't need this. Lo lachu Yisrael. You know what? We're going home. Let's take our toys and go home. We'll take our, you know, we're not participating anymore. We don't like this. What do we need it for? Ata rei beiska David. You know, you, David, can have your own house, babe, but we're going home. We're going back to our tent. And this was a tragedy, a huge tragedy in a certain way, like that initially the Jewish people were kind of fickle with the ruin. They were with Shaul, they were with David, they were with Absalom, and then they were with Shlomo, and then they went... the lack of commitment on our part, you know, to the leader is not a good sign. But that's what basically the people, they at the first sign of, you know, the taxes are too high, we don't like it, we're going home. Verse 70. So the Jewish people that lived in the cities of Yehuda, that was his tribe, they made him the king. High taxes are not, you're ours. Verse 18. Now, we have a problem here. The Jewish people that had come initially to inaugurate him, now again, they brought to inaugurate, they were going to have a big party. They brought everything to inaugurate him, and they didn't inaugurate him. So the people of Yehuda inaugurated him. They made him king. So now, nothing has happened yet. And the people have left, and they've gone home. So he has to send them a message. So let's see, what message does he send? Verse 18. He sends a tax collector out to them. Nobody likes a tax collector. That's not a good message to send to people. Especially after he saw how upset they were. What does he do? He should say, let's talk this over, you know, maybe we can work something out. What does he do? He sends a tax collector out. Collect the taxes. Now, it could be that he thought this tax collector was the same collector that his father had used. But he wasn't his father. And that's also a mistake that people made. In other words, sometimes a person has to deal with a new reality. He was not the same person that his father was. And they stoned the tax collector, and he died. So now the king sees that it's getting bloody. And the king Rechavim Misamitz. And when he saw that there were stones over here, he realized that he better be careful. So La'alos B'Rechavim, he went up on his chariot, he ran off to Yerushalayim. He felt now he was no longer even safe to be amongst the 10 tribes. Yotes. V'yipshu Yisrael Veiz David Ad HaYom Hazeh. And until the times of Yirmiyahu, 200 years later, the 10 tribes, even though they had very bad kings, they never went back. In other words, the leadership of the house of David, they rejected it. And that was a tragedy, that they rejected the dynasty. We're going to see that we have our ups and downs, but the kings from the house of David had that magic quality of David HaMelech. There were some that weren't, you know, there were a few that were rotten apples, but by and large, as a dynasty, they had the greatness of David, and the people had rejected it, and that was really the downfall or the cause of all the trouble. 20. Now, when the people saw they rejected the king from the house of David, and they saw that Yeravam came back from Egypt, and it's so interesting here, Yeravam, like, he didn't campaign to make himself king. They had to ask him. They brought him, Yisrael, and they made him king. Only one of the 10 tribes stayed with the house of David. Now you might ask, where's the? There's 12 tribes, so how do we only have 10 and one? So Binyamin had been decimated in the civil war. If you remember, there had been a civil war by Pelegish Begiva, and there were only a few hundred members of the tribe of Binyamin, and their territory was right with Yehuda, so they basically stayed with Yehuda, Binyamin. They weren't like a whole tribe. Compared in size, they didn't compare to the other tribes. So it's really like there were only 11 tribes. So 10 went to split off to the northern kingdom, and one of them went with Yehuda, went with David. 21. V'yavo Rechavam. Rechavam went to Yerushalayim, v'yakal es kol beis Yehuda. Now, the people rebelled against him, so he's going to make a civil war. So he gathers together the whole house of Yehuda, the Shevet Binyamin, and whatever was in the tribe of Binyamin, 180,000 men. Hosei melchama elochem min beis Yisrael. So he gets 180,000 men, he picks up an army, lahashis melucha. If they're not going to accept my kingship willingly, I'm going to fight it. I'm going to go to war against them. The Rechavim ben Shlomo. Because I'm the son of Shlomo. They have to accept me. 22. V'hi devar Elokim el Shamayo ish Elokim leimor. And a prophet comes, a man of God comes to Rechavim and says to him, Emor Rechavim ben Shlomo, Melech Yehuda, go tell the king. Kol beis Yehuda ben Yamin, v'yosam leimor, tell them the message. Ko amar Hashem, lo talu. No civil war here. It's not the time. It's not the proper thing. Do not go up. V'lo sichamu imachechem b'nei Yisrael. You don't make civil war. We don't fight with our fellow Jews. Shuv ish lebeisa. Go home. Now you might say this is a terrible thing. I mean, fighting for unity is important. Sometimes you need to have a civil war, otherwise people will break off, it'll be terrible. But Hashem says, this is my mi'iti ni ha'isadavar, this was my will, v'yishmu esadavar Hashem. And they listened. They listened to the words of Hashem, v'yishuvu lecha sadavar Hashem. Rechavim was a great person. He was not a bad, he blew it. He blew the kingdom. He ruled over one tribe, but he was not a bad person. He could have waged war and brought the people back, but he listened to the Dvar Hashem. 25.
How did the people turn to Yerubbaal? How is Yerubbaal still in the picture?
So he was a leader from the house, from the tribe of Yosef, and he was remembered that he had spoken out against Shlomo. So he had, you know, in the times of Shlomo, he had spoken out against the abuses of the house of David. And he was righteous. He was chosen by the prophet. So he fit the bill.
And he was known among the people?
At least in the tribe of Yosef, he was known to, it had to have been known. He had run away to Egypt, but apparently they heard about the prophecy that he was meant to be a leader. Again, the irony of it was that his initial complaint against the house of David was that they had stopped the people from coming up by taking away the place to pitch their tent, and by marrying these foreign princesses, that he was causing the people to worship idols and not causing them to go up. And we're going to see that when... So the only thing is, and this is just so, so common, every revolution, you know, they take over, and you see that they end up having some of the same problems of the people they got rid of. It's if you study like the Russian Revolution where they got rid of the Tsar, you know, and their big complaints were they have the secret police and the country's run like a prison and they send people to Siberia. So what do? They take over, they do the same thing. You know, they said, well, the leaders have luxury, and the poor people have to work hard, and the Tsar, and they live like a king. So what happened? So now the Bolsheviks live like kings, you know. The communists had all the perks, right? And so in Animal Farm, they in that book, they really talk about how many times the people that revolt against the tyranny end up very much like the tyranny afterwards. And so that's just like a human nature, like the... over here, they're revolting against the house of David, and he ends up being worse than the complaints that he had against Shlomo. He ends up being worse than that. He ends up raising the taxes too. You know, so
I'm worried that the Libyan rebels are worse than Gaddafi.
Yes, we don't really know. That's the scare. You know, you really don't know. Don't really know. 20. Yeah, 25. Even Yerubbaal Mishkam. So Yerubbaal, he built the new capital city in Shechem. Now, this is also fascinating. Shechem is Nablus. And historically, this was the city where the Jewish people split. And we have a history of having sad things happening in Shechem. This was where Dina was captured, was in Shechem. This is where Yosef was thrown in the pit, was in Shechem. And this is where the 10 tribes divided, was in Shechem. And in modern Israel, there were a few massacres in Nablus. Nablus has like the most... anti-Israel Arabs. If they're all anti-Israel, but they're very... Shechem is just like, historically, it's just never been a... there's something about Shechem. So the capital city, though, of the new territory was in Shechem. Even Yerubbaal Shechem, and Har Ephraim, Yetzim, Yetzim, Misham, and he also built up another city called Penuel, and that was the city that he built. The Yoma Yerubbaal... I'll just do this because we mentioned it. The Yom Yerubbaal on 26, Yerubbaal said in his heart, "Ata tasha melech lebeis David." He said, "Now the holidays are coming up, and people are going to go back to the house of David. Imyala amazel lasus vochim lebeis Hashem b'Yerushalayim, and the people will go to Yerushalayim." Now, part of it was that the leadership in David brought people close to Hashem with the service in the Beis Hamikdash. David had made the Tehillim that the people sang. He had set up the musicians. His part of what he did was he felt that music was a way to bring people close to Hashem. And he had set up the Levium with the songs and the harps and the flutes and the beautiful music. And Shlomo had built the Beis HaMikdash. It was a beautiful building and all the pageantry and all the... So this was all the works of the House of David. And he said, you know what? If people are going to go to that and see that, the Shav Lema, people are going to remember why they were chosen as leaders. And they're going to want to go back to Rechavim, Melech Yehuda. And you know what? Barguni, they'll kill me. The Shavua, Rechavim, Melech Yehuda, and they'll go back to that king. So, and he felt that since he had a mandate to rule, so he had to stop that. And we're going to see Ravim, who had started out with such great promise, and who had been very pious and very righteous in the times of Shlomo. Now he's going to set up two golden calves. It's an amazing thing that nobody would have expected that, you know, that this Yeravam, who was selected by the prophet, but it's sometimes when people get jealous or people get into their ego, they sometimes do things that you would never imagine possible, and that's really what happened here. It's a tragedy. The only thing I would say, like, you know, you hate to do such a sad thing right before Yontif, is that he felt that the Yontif was so powerful experience that people would naturally want to go back to David once they experience Yom Tov up in Yerushalayim. So hopefully we can experience that Yom Tov and Lashana above Yerushalayim. Everybody have a Kakosha v'Sameach. So we're off for 2 weeks. And then Mirz Hashem, we'll meet after Pesach, and I hope everybody has a wonderful, happy, healthy Yom Tov.
Thank you
for this. Appreciate that.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.